Mark chapter number 10 in your Bibles, please. Mark chapter number 10. And we're going to preach on this subject this morning. Suffer the little children. Suffer the little children. Mark chapter number 10. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Mark chapter 10. And we'll look in verse number 13. Mark chapter number 10. Guys, no more talking from this point on. Absolutely no more talking. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you're here. It's time for the preaching of the Bible. So let's all look at the scriptures, Mark chapter number 10. And then we'll begin reading in verse number 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, here it is. Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up. Now picture this. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of the Bible. I pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts through what we read and study and preach on tonight. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for the wonderful example that your Son left for us in the matter of children, dear God, the treatment of children, the importance of children. And so I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we preach the Bible. There's someone here without Jesus as their Savior, never been saved. I pray they'd be saved today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to read out of Matthew and I'm going to read out of Luke. I won't ask you to turn there. If you'll stay right in Mark chapter 10, that's where we'll draw our text. But two of the other Gospels also record this event. In Matthew 19, it says, then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And then Luke, we read these words in chapter 18, verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. And when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And so we see in three different of the Gospels, God records for us Jesus in his interaction with little children, Matthew calls them. Young children, Mark calls them. Infants is the word that is we find in the book of Luke. So there were infants and there were young children and there were little children. So you can imagine that what we saw up here probably represented the group that came to Jesus that day. I want to point out three things for you, and I know we're starting the message a little late, and I will tell you that I will get you out on a normal, regular time, okay? So let me have your full attention. Don't worry about the clock. Listen carefully to what I'm going to say this morning. I want to be a help to you. I want to point out three players, if you will, in this event. There's three main characters that are involved, of course, besides the children. And I'd like to just put a spotlight on one, two, three, and learn some things from this portion of scripture this morning. Number one, let me point out the wisdom of the parents. Now think about that. The wisdom of these parents. You know what? They brought their children to Jesus. They brought their children to Jesus. Now folks, listen to me. Thank God for every parent in America. And I wish I could say it's the majority of parents. It's not. But thank God for you that are wise enough to bring your children to Jesus. The honest truth is we've reached a time in America where the majority of children are being raised with no or little knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these parents had enough sense and wisdom to get their children and say, we're going to bring them to Jesus. Preacher, how can I bring my children to Jesus? Let me say this. Bring Jesus into your home. Bring Jesus into your home. You say, preacher, what's the greatest thing that your mom and dad ever did for you? They got saved. They received Jesus as their Savior. And from that day forward, they strove to make sure that we had a Christian home. They brought Jesus into our home. Some folks will go visit Jesus at the church on Sunday, but they don't want to bring Jesus home with them during the week. Let me say this, folks. If you're going to come visit him on Sunday, don't leave him here. Bring him back into your home. I don't know how old this poem is, but I remember as a little boy listening to my preacher read it, and so I'm going to read it to you today. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give him your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve him would be the very best. And you keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they'd been? Would you turn off the radio and hope he hadn't heard and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? And I wonder if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends? Or would you hope they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus Christ in person came to spend some time with you. And I want to say this, folks, listen to me. Nobody's raised in a perfect home, but no child ought to have to be raised, listen to me, in a home of hypocrites. And let me say this, folks. What your kids see on Sunday and the excitement that you have for the things of God on Sunday ought to be the same excitement that you have on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And Jesus Christ ought to be invited and a welcome guest in your home each and every day of your life. Yeah, they brought their children to Jesus. How do I do that? Preacher, I bring Jesus into your home. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, the greatest thing you can do for your family is to be saved today. Jesus said, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Say, preacher, well, I'm a member of a church. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, I've been baptized. I've been sprinkled. I've been confirmed. Except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. I try to be good to all my neighbors. Except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Those were the words of Jesus. Later on in that same chapter, we read this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not only should we bring Jesus into your home, but let me say this, bring your children to the house of the Lord. I love 2 Timothy chapter 3, where God led Paul through inspiration to write to a young man, Timothy, these words, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. These children that are being raised in church, they'll be able to say, from a child I knew the holy scriptures. I went to Sunday school. I had a Sunday school teacher. Say, preacher, what's going on with the children right now? They're in primary church and they're learning the Holy Scriptures. They're in children's church and they're learning the Holy Scriptures. And you know what? Even in the nursery, they're being rocked to sleep by people that are singing, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. You know, it's a wonderful thing for children to be raised up in the house of the Lord. And I want to say, first of all, and just commend these parents. I don't know who they are. They're nameless in the scripture. We don't know who they are, but we do know this. We do know that they were wise enough to say, we have little children, and Jesus is near, and we're going to do everything we can to get our children to Jesus. Now, look right up here, and let me just challenge every parent here. There's nothing as close to you in your heart as your children. And you know what? You want to make sure that every one of your children know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I know you can't make that decision for them. I know that everybody must make the choice themselves to be saved. But moms, dads, you can put them in a place, you can put them in an environment where they are regularly and constantly being taught about Jesus, his death for their sins, his burial, his resurrection, his life. Bring your children to the house of the Lord. Let them sit under the gospel and pray and work with them until the day that God begins to work on their heart about salvation. Bring your children to the house of the Lord. They brought their children to Jesus. I think this is precious. They wanted Jesus to touch their children. They wanted Jesus to pray for their children. And folks, let me say this. The closer you can get your children to Jesus, the better off they're going to be throughout their entire life. So first of all, we see that there were some wise parents in this portion of Scripture. Let me quickly go to number two. We saw the wisdom of the parents, and then we see the rebuke of the disciples. This is kind of interesting. By the way, I think the disciples were sincere, but you know you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. If you go to the portion of Scripture, we won't take time and read these in the context. Jesus was teaching the people. He was in the midst of sharing some parables with them. Now, I don't sense that the children came and rushed in to interrupt what he was doing. I believe if you'll read the Scriptures, he finished the teaching, but at that time he was teaching the people. I think he came to a conclusion, he came to a stopping point, and then when he had finished, here comes the children, here comes their parents with the children, and the disciples say, wait, no, hold on a minute. There's dignitaries here, okay? There's important people here. There's adults here. And you know what? They begin to push back the children and tell them, you know what? He's busy. He's got important people. Wait a minute. If we're not careful, folks, we can be sincere but wrong in our thinking when it comes to children in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I believe the disciples were sincere, but I think they made a great mistake here. Well, preacher, what mistake did they make? They saw children as a bother instead of a blessing. Now, this is sadly true. Let me just say this, folks, in two instances. Let me make some application here. This is sadly true in many families. Now, let me just help you here a second, okay? We live in such a selfish time, such a selfish day. And it seems like, you know what, more and more young couples are being married, and I'm not talking about young people. By the way, be very careful in the teaching of this and even in your encouragement of this. I pray sometimes that our people would use more wisdom. And you don't understand sometimes, folks, that the person that you go by and make a comment about having more children may wish to God they could have children. They may be trying to have children. They're just not blessed with children. Please use wisdom, okay, in dealing with people at the church here. I've seen ladies in tears after church because you thought you were being an encouragement and you weren't. You were being unwise in what you said. There's ladies that wish they could have more children and can't have children. But you know what? Let me say this. I also want to just say this. You know what? We've got a generation of people that are getting married, and you know what? They look at children as a bother. They don't want to have any children or not very many children because they don't want their lives disrupted. Let me remind you, in Psalms 127, the Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." I know, moms, I see you sometimes. You got 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 little children are running in about 7 different directions, and you look like you're about to pull your hair out. And I know there's going to be those times and those days, but let me tell you something, they grow up quick. And pretty soon, you know what, you're going to blink once, blink twice. And you're going to see them walking across the stage receiving their high school diploma. And listen, while you have them, cherish the days, cherish the moments. Don't ever get to the point where you start viewing children as a bother. That happens in some families. Look right up here. It happens in a lot of churches. Oh, preacher, that would never happen in a church. It happens in a lot of churches. Now let me say this. Let me say this, folks. Watch this. They saw children, the disciples did, as secondary in importance to adults. But Jesus didn't view children that way. In Matthew chapter 18, let me read these words to you. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me." What a statement. "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea." Now, you know what? The question was asked, who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Here's the disciples. Here's the Pharisees. Here's the Sadducees. Here's the learned men. Here's the adults. Who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus looks at the crowd, spots a little child and says, "Come up here," and sets them in the midst. Boy, what a great lesson for the church of Jesus Christ. See, the disciples made a mistake here because they saw children as secondary in importance to adults. But Jesus said they're greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Sorry, senior saints. Sorry, adults. Sorry, young adults. Teenagers, sorry. But Jesus saw the children as a number one top priority. And you know what? Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to view children the same way. If you haven't figured it out yet, kids are pretty important to us around here. We love the children. We work very hard to develop children's ministries. There's qualified, skilled, talented, gifted people right now. Listen, we don't send the people that are at the bottom of the totem pole to go work with our children. We send people that are at the top of the totem pole, the best, the quality of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, to go work with the children. You know why? Because they ought to be important. They're the greatest in the kingdom of God. If you're going to adopt a Christian view of your children, then you need to understand that they are to be your greatest priority. Dad, your hobby should not be more important than your children. Mom, your TV show should not trump your children. One of the greatest pieces of advice I can give you is this. Do not let even serving the Lord separate you from your children. Instead, include your children as much as you can in all that you do for the Lord. I love the ministries here where families have taken on nursing homes and families are running bus routes. And can you imagine that? You know what? God might want to use your family to do something like that. Honestly, you know what? What better way to come to church than to go ahead and jump in a bus and not only bring your family to church, but bring 20 or 30 or 40 other children to church whose mom and dad either can't bring them or sometimes, honestly, folks just won't bring them. But those children still need to be brought to Jesus. What a blessing to be able to drive one of those buses. You may say, "Preacher, I don't have a whole lot of talent, but I got a CDL license or I can get one." You know what? I can find a place in a seat of a church bus for you to drive some children to Sunday school. What better way to be used of God? That's not a second class position. That's the top of the totem pole position in the church. And so I believe this. I believe that the emphasis on the family and the choosing to serve the Lord ought not to ever conflict. I believe the two can coexist. And I believe that families can and should serve together in the local assembly. That's a blessed thing when they do so. So we see the wisdom of the parents. We see a mistake that's made by the disciples. But then we see the reaction of the Savior. Now let's take the last 4 or 5 minutes. Let's focus on Jesus. What did he do? Preacher, what did he do? The wise parents brought the children. The unwise disciples rebuked them. Let me say this. Three things we see, first of all, his displeasure. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. You know what that means, folks? Can I interpret it? He was ticked off. He was upset. He was not happy. Okay, all of a sudden he's done preaching. Here comes the adults, here comes the dignitaries, here comes the people that's been waiting to meet him, and here comes children. You know how children are, folks. Come on. I'll tell you right now, if you are standing in the wrong place here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church at key moments, you could be stampeded to death by children. It's just, you say, "Preacher, they ought to." Yeah, I know, kids ought to do a lot of things, but I just tell you this, hug the wall and hold on, all right? Because kids are kids. But can you see them? Here they come busting through. They want to get to Jesus. They want to get to Jesus, and somebody's saying, "No, he doesn't have time for you." Yes, he does. No, he doesn't want you. Yes, he does. No, you know what? He doesn't want to pray with you. Yes, he does. He doesn't want to hold you. Yes, he does. And the first thing Jesus did was he was not shy about lining out his disciples concerning what ought to be the top priority. And folks, listen to me. I want there to be a place. There needs to be a place where children are welcome. You know, I hear a lot of churches talk about how much they are investing in the next generation, how much they love children, all this. You know what I always say? Watch this. Follow the money. Follow the money. You know what? If you had even an inkling of an idea of how much of our budget goes to put fuel in those buses and to buy buses and to paint those buses and keep those buses repaired, and if you had an inkling of the investment that we make in a year's time in our Sunday school department, in our children's church, in our youth department, you know what? It would say, bottom line, Blessed Hope Baptist Church puts its money where its mouth is. It just doesn't talk about reaching out and affecting the next generation. It's doing it. It's doing it. And the honest truth is, a lot of churches don't have that heart. I say, preacher, are you here to rebuke them? I'm here to say, let's make sure we're doing what we ought to do. One of the saddest things I ever saw in my life, and one of the saddest stories that I need to tell from time to time from the pulpit here, is when I was pastoring over in Brazil, Indiana, and me and my wife would go out on Sunday mornings and take our little Dodge Omni bus. You know what a Dodge Omni is? You know what a Dodge Omni is? That's what she picked up the children in. We didn't have a van. We didn't have a bus. So we were in the Omni ministry, not the bus ministry. And when she'd pick up some street kids and she'd pick up some teenagers and bring them to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Central Baptist Church. And one day she went out and got a group of children, and she came in the auditorium, and she said, there's a little girl out there that wants to talk to you. She won't get out of the car until she talks to you. And I thought, what a strange thing. And so I went out to the curb, and we were meeting in a storefront at that time, and I went out on to Main Street and down over to Walnut Street. My wife had parked between down Walnut Street towards a church that was just down a block from us. So she was parked about halfway between this church that was already existing and our storefront building. And I went down there, and the little girl keeps looking over her shoulder at this church. And she looks at me, and she looks at the church, and she said, I needed to ask you something. And I said, what? She said, I needed to ask you, is it okay if I come to church? Is it all right? And she kept looking at herself. I said, well, honey, of course it is. What's your name? And I got down and tried to make her feel welcome. Come on. Got her by the hand, handed her off to my wife. She'll take good care of you. And then we went and headed the opposite direction of this other church, the opposite direction. And she kept looking back confused. See, she thought that she was going to this church. On the way home, I told Cheryl, there's something strange there. You need to find out what's going on. On the way home, my wife began to talk to her and said, honey, why did you think you wouldn't be welcome to church? And she said, well, I'm sorry, I was confused. I thought we were going to the other church. You see, one time I went about a year ago with my friend to that other church. And you know what? It was, I'll just tell you this, folks, it was the money church in town. It's where the people with money went. It's where the people, you know, that, by the way, none of them carried a Bible into church. I can witness that. We watched them walk into church. I never seen a person carry a Bible. You know why they didn't have to carry a Bible into that church? Because the preacher wasn't going to preach out of the Bible anyway. Come on now. Nobody carried a Bible into church. That wasn't the focus of it. It was all just religion. It was just vain religion. It was just empty religion. It was just traditions of men. And so she said, I went with my friend there one day. And by the way, this girl was a poor girl. I'll just tell you. She didn't have very nice clothes. She's probably a little dirty. But you know what? She went with her friend to church. And the friend that brought her to church sat with her in church, and the preacher conducted the message. And then after church, the preacher of this other church that she had attended with her friend came and found her after church and said, what's your name? And she told her. She told him her name. And he said, I'm glad that you came today. But you know what? This probably isn't the church that you would be the most comfortable in. It's not really your type of a church, so I'm glad that you came this time, but maybe you ought to find somewhere else to go to church. Now I'm going to tell you something, folks. When my wife came back and told me that story, I mean, it started down in my toes, okay? There's sometimes, as a preacher, you got to remember one of the qualifications is not a striker, not a striker, not a striker, because I wanted to go down and whoop that preacher. You know why? Because he wasn't a preacher. Come on now, that's not how Jesus conducts himself. And let me tell you, young people, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what kind of family you come from or what you've experienced in life. I want you to always have some place that you can come where people are going to love you like Jesus loves you. I want to pastor that kind of church. What I see here on Sundays, what I've seen here on the platform, but not just on this Sunday, what I stand at the back and see every week of my life, Lord, don't ever let us change from being a church that reaches out to the people that maybe nobody else wants. And maybe the kids that aren't welcome somewhere else, let them have some place they can go, some place where people are going to love them, some place where people are going to care for them. You know why? Because that's how Jesus conducted himself. He was much displeased. He gave us instruction. Let the children come to me. Never forbid them to come. Such is the kingdom of heaven. By the way, you have to become like one of these children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Salvation requires a childlike faith, a childlike belief. We have to put away our human, watch this, our adult human arguments, our intellect. You know why children get saved so easily? Because they have simple faith. Simple faith. Okay, they haven't been jaded by life. They got simple faith. You tell a child Jesus is the Son of God, and you show them in the Bible where that's true, and you know what they'll do? They'll believe it. You show them where he died on the cross, and you look down, there'll be a tear in their eye. And then you tell them that Jesus died for their sins, and you know what? Great conviction comes upon them. They feel bad because it was their sins that helped put Jesus to the cross. By the way, Jesus loves you. And they'll smile. And he wants to save you. And they get excited. Let me tell you something. It's not hard to bring children to Jesus, but it seems awful hard to bring adults. Because heaven forbid, you know what? You got on the internet and read a few things from pagans. And all of a sudden, you're too smart for the Bible. You're not willing to humble yourself, the Bible says, as a little child. Listen, there's only one way to get saved. And that's to come forward and just with a childlike faith say, you know what? If the Bible says that, I believe it. And if the Bible says Jesus is the Son of God, then I choose to believe that. By faith, you say, prove it to me. There ain't no proving it. You know what? You can't get saved except by faith. God doesn't see fit to have to prove himself to anybody. Now, there's proofs of God all around you if you'll look. But you know what? God wants you to come by faith. Show me that adult that will come and say, you know what, preacher? If the Bible says it, I believe it. The Bible says Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he is. The Bible says that I'm a sinner, and you know what? It's right. And you know what? Jesus died for those sins, and I believe it. He died. He was buried and rose again the third day, and I believe it. And I put my faith and trust only in him and what he did, his finished work on Calvary. I just come the way I am. You show me an adult that will come forward and embrace Jesus Christ and embrace the gospel, they'll walk out of this church saved, born again, and on their way to heaven. Hey, are you saved? Are you saved? Mama, daddy, are you saved? You know what your children need? A saved mama, a saved daddy, a born-again mom, a born-again dad. Are you a teenager here? Are you saved? Are you a fifth and sixth grader? Are you saved? If you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? If you don't know that for sure, in just a moment, we're going to have you give you an opportunity to be saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody looking around with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you're here today, you say, preacher, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. I'm looking back along the timeline of my life, and I can't find that place, that spot where I know 100% sure that I was born again. Has there ever been that time? Can you look back where you fell under conviction for your sin, realized that you were lost, felt the drawing of the Father? Jesus said, no man cometh to me except the Father draw him. Conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit of God, drawing, the Father drawing you to himself. Can you find that place where you realized and understood that Jesus loved you and died for you, paid for your sins, was buried, rose again, and you put your full faith and trust only in the finished work of Christ, nothing else, only in the finished work of Christ? Can you find that place? If not, I'd urge you to be saved today. I can't make the decision for you. It's not set up that way. God doesn't want it that way. He wants you to choose him. Say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. If I was to die right now, I'm not 100% sure that I'd go to heaven. But God is working on my heart right now this morning. He's working on my heart. And I know I do need to be saved. Preacher, I'm not saved, but God is speaking to my heart, and I know that I need to be saved. Let me pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name, but I do want to pray for you. Preacher, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure, 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but God is speaking to my heart about this. Would you just pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved, preacher. I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I'm not saved, but God is speaking to my heart this morning. Is there anybody like that? Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Just put your hand up. Let me see it real quick. We'll put it right back down. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Let's rededicate ourselves, please. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, to being the type of church that reflects a Christ view of children and our love for them, our ministry to them, and our kindness and love towards showing them. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless, dear God, this invitation time. We pray these things in Jesus' name.